All right, be praying for the campers. I know that Dory's happy. Brother Garrett's down there, so she gets to play with the babies while they're there. So she's happy about that and sending me some pictures of them. They're having a good time, and pray that they'll get home safe and sound next 2 or 3 days. And tonight, I'd like to address some things because of what's been going on. And now I understand it's moved even out of California into some other areas. And some very troubling things taking place. I'll get this on. So I wanted to do something a little bit different tonight, and especially with our kids in here with us tonight. And in our country, we have many different departments of law enforcement officers, many different various groups. We have city officials, we have county officials, we have state officials in the state of Texas, and there may be others I'm not aware of, but we have the state troopers, we have the Texas Rangers, that's a state organization, we have the Fishing Game Commission, those are state officers as well, and then also we have quite a bit of federal officers. Several special departments there in the federal division as determined by, of course, the federal government and various entities. And some of these, of course, are military departments. And we have military more domestic-oriented as well. And yet plenty of these have their own law enforcement officers as well. But know this, even if someone in a military uniform, as in the case that may happen out in California. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But even in the case of someone in a military uniform, if they ask something of you, you need to do that. You need to do that. If they tell you to lay down, you need to do so, and you need to do so immediately. If they tell you to go somewhere else, you need to do so immediately. And don't stand around to see who argues with them about it. You just do what you're told to do and when you're told to do it. Now, kids, one of the things I wanted to do tonight is to help you understand one of the best ways that you can identify law enforcement officers is to look for two things. And I asked Brother Andrew if he'd help me tonight, and he's also known, of course, in the community as Officer Boyd. All right, so Brother Andrew, if you'd come up front here, just stand down here on the front with me. And so I want you to recognize two things, the two primary things of our most localized officers that we have that serve the various cities and departments. Two things you need to look for. One, you want to look for a police uniform. You want to look for a uniform. The other thing you want to look for is a badge. All right? Uniform and badge. Uniform and badge. Can you say that, kids? Uniform and badge. Come on. Uniform and badge. Come on. Uniform and badge. You want to look for those two things. Now, let me cover this, and it should go without saying, but it obviously seems to need to be said. Law enforcement personnel, police officers, are your friends. They're not your enemies. They are your friends. All right? They're not the boogeyman. They are your friends. Anytime, kids, you are in trouble or if you get scared, no matter what it is, you look for somebody dressed like this. All right? Look for somebody dressed in a police uniform and a badge. You feel in danger, you look for them. You call upon them. Ladies, I would go so far as to encourage you, don't be shy about this. If you get stranded out on the highway, out in the countryside, or whatever the case may be, if you find yourself in a place that makes you less than comfortable, and that these days should be quite a few places, do not hesitate to call on somebody like this. Call law enforcement and let them at least know where you are and what is going on. And don't hesitate to do that, especially if you're out on the highway. Miss Dory went out the other day to San Angelo, and I was concerned that she'd have a flat tire. And she had some tire problems, and I made her keep that car here where I could put struts on the back of it. And we had new tires put on it while she was out in San Angelo. But I was afraid she would break down. And I told her, if you do break down, the first person you call is not me. You call law enforcement and let them know where you are and who you are and try to just kind of give general mile markers as you go, just kind of make a mental note of where you are and what's going on, so they could be made aware that you're there, and if somebody's in your vicinity, they could stop by and just be there until you get services out there to somebody to come and take care of you. Because any time that you're out there like that and you find yourself in difficulty, you need to know that police officers are your friends, all right? And they will help you. And they'll help you get back safely to your family. Now, most police uniforms, you see on the back of Officer Boyd's uniform, you see on the very back of that, what does it say? Police. They'll have police on there somewhere. Now, most of the time, their uniforms are kind of fancy, like his is, right? It's pretty fancy. Now, not all the time is it a fancy uniform. Sometimes if you go to a 4th of July picnic or something like that, or fireworks, or maybe at a beach, there could be police officers, but they're not dressed quite so fancy as this. They may have on shorts, be riding a bicycle downtown, or a number of different things. But things you need to look for. Now, another thing you need to look for the uniform is the badge. Now, the badge is not something that looks like a Walmart greeter badge. The badges are pretty, pretty fancy. Now, not all police and law enforcement officers are dressed in their uniform all the time. When they go home, they would normally take off their uniforms and they'd put on their street clothes or their church clothes, and they would come to church here. And yet, almost all the time, I know I asked Brother Andrew if their department required them to always keep their badge with them. He believes it's a policy matter that they are asked by their department, his boss, to always keep his badge with him. So I've asked other officers, if you'd come on up, y'all come on up here and join Brother Andrew. And kids, I want you to come up here and I want you to see these badges. I want you to look closely at these badges. All right, come on, come on. Come on, don't be shy. Come look, Clayton. Now, you'll see similarities about them, and you'll see some things that look a little bit different. But they look very, very real. They look very fancy. All right? I want you to look at them. Take time to look at those badges. Now you see, now Brother James, he's got just a police a pullover shirt on. But see, on the back of his shirt, it says police. On the front of his shirt, it's got a little signage that says police on there. All right? But you're going to look for uniform. And what else are you going to look for? A badge. All right, come on down there. Look at all their badges. Show them your badges, man. Show them the badges. Now you see similarities. You see some differences. They're old. Oh, they're gold. I thought she said they're gold. They're gold. All right, now kids, those are two most important things you need to look for when you're looking for somebody to help you. All right, the uniforms. And the badge. Uniform and the badge. All right, thank you. Y'all can have a seat. All right, thank you, Brother Andrew. Now, when you get older, kids, listen to me. When you get older, there are other officers that you need to know how to learn how to identify them. All right, they may not always have on quite as fancy of a uniform, but they will always carry a badge with them, and they'll always have identification of their various departments and various fields, especially our federal officers. You need to learn, as you grow older, you need to make yourself aware of who they are. In case you run into them somewhere, you would know they are also just as good of guys, good of girls, good people as these police officers sitting here. All right, it's important that you know that. You with me? It's important that you understand. You need to learn how to identify not only our local police departments, but you need to know how to identify state police departments, a police officer, a law enforcement officer. And then beyond that, you need to know how to identify federal officers as well. And because more and more often our public are running into federal officers, and you need to know that they are also the good guys, and they are also your friends, all right? And officers, these officers, you'll have some kind of identification with them. Sometimes on the back of their shirt, front of their shirt, you'll see things like ATF. FBI, that's a police officer, okay? You'll see things like game warden, especially if you're out in the woods for Brother Jordan, you know. You'll see game warden out there. You better watch those game wardens. Well, what about ICE? I-C-E, ICE. What about U.S. Marshals? That's a police officer, okay? He's a federal officer. What about Border Patrol? We live in Texas. We are a border state. When I was out in California, I went through a checkpoint, the only checkpoint I've ever gone through that was close to Mexico. And when we drove out from the coast over into the desert at El Centro, nobody stopped us. But on the way back after dark, we got stopped. And you need to know how to identify Border Patrol agents, all right? Because they are law officers. They are enforcement officers, and you need to know how to identify them as well. It's important that you need to understand to identify them so you can stay safe. We want you to stay safe under all conditions, all right? All conditions. So learn how to look for these things. Now, all of these individuals, as law enforcement officers, be they working for the constable's office or for the city's offices, like Brother Ray works for the city of Plano. Brother James works for the city of Gun Barrel City. That's where you're at still, okay? No matter what, they are all these officers. You need to consider them as God's special agents for your care. God's special agents for your care. God organized this. God set this up, all right? And God wants you to stay safe. And for you to stay safe, you need to know who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. And the good guys are your law enforcement officers. And you need to make sure that you understand that and they are God's special servants. Now, it's important that everybody who lives in our society, everybody who lives in our land, needs to understand these are law enforcement men and women. They do not write the laws. They enforce the laws. They don't write the laws. They don't make up the laws willy-nilly, whatever they want to do today. No, they don't do that. They enforce the laws that are already written. Now, so let me just kind of give you an illustration for that. When you go out here and your mom and daddy's driving down the road and they see a little sign out there, a white sign with black letters, and it has a speed limit on it. And let's say the speed limit is 55 miles an hour. Well, no police officer here determined that speed limit. Now, if you go over that speed limit, they'll maybe pull you over and write you a ticket or give you a warning and tell you you need to slow down, right? They may do that. But they don't write that law. Somebody else determines those laws, but they simply enforce those laws. Now, they also can pull you over for what they consider to be reckless driving or a reckless behavior. You're doing something that's reckless. Let's say that Miss Caselyn has a Honda car. And let's say we go out here and we find some twine, not good rope or anything, just twine, and we pick up that bush hog out there that's about 8 foot, 9 foot across, and we put it up on top of her car, and we just wrap it around and around and around with that twine. Now, that's probably not going to stay there very long, right? But we wrap it up real good, maybe even put a bow on the top of that. And so here she goes down the road, and she's got her Honda Accord. Now she has a big piece of tractor implement up on top of that thing, and she's going down the road. Now, if she's going less than 55 miles an hour, is she violating the speed limit? No, she's not violating the speed limit. But is she doing something that's reckless? Yes, she is. So even though she's under the speed limit, they may still and should pull her over if she has a bush hog, a shredder, a tractor shredder, up on the top of her car, wrapped up with twine, all right? Because that would be also a violation of the law. And they have to make that kind of a judgment all the time. Now, they're not going to make up something just silly simply because they want to pull somebody over. Miss Caseland's car is kind of a gold color. So they don't go down the road and they say, well, you know, it's kind of a golden sunset today and her car is gold, so it blends too much into the sunset, so we're going to pull her over and write her a ticket. They're not going to do that. They're not going to pull over somebody who's driving a gray car because gray cars kind of just blend into the sky somehow, and they're going to pull over those gray cars because they're violating the law. They're not going to do that. But if you have a shredder on the top of your car, and you drive down the road, they might just pull you over and tell you you're going to have to park that until somebody else can come and pick that up. All right, but they are doing that to see that you stay safe and the public stays safe. So again, they are the good guys. All right, you need to hold that thought. They are the good guys. Now, sometimes we don't like a law, do we? Sometimes I may think, well, I don't think the speed limit ought to be 25 miles an hour down through this residential neighborhood just to the east of our home, right, Miss Dory? We don't think that's probably the best one, but you know what? I didn't get to write that law, did I? Somebody else got to write that law. So if we don't like a particular law, there's a way for us to seek to change that law, but we have to go through the process of doing that. But we don't get the right to write those laws, and nor does police officers, enforcement officers, they don't get the right to write those laws. But they have a responsibility to enforce the laws. So they're called law enforcement officers. So, likewise, we can protest with others. Now, there's a lot of people now protesting a lot of different things. And it's perfectly fine to peacefully protest in the United States. Peacefully protest. That is perfectly fine and even defended. But you can't do this in a reckless way. Like if Miss Caseland was driving with that big tractor implement on the top of her car, that's reckless, right? So likewise, they can't let you go out there and protest in a way that's reckless. They can't let you do that. And so they're going to stop people from protesting in a reckless way. But the point is, they don't make up the laws, but they have to step in when we get reckless in our behavior. Now, it is never okay to throw paint on a police car or a police motorcycle. It is never okay to shove the motorcycle over and damage that motorcycle. That's not yours and you don't get to destroy it. It is never okay to pick up a rock, even a little rock, and throw it at a police car. It is never okay for you to pick up a little rock or a bottle or even a bottle of water that's half empty and throw it at a police officer. It is never even okay for you to pick up a bottle that's completely empty, that's very lightweight, and throw it like it's a heavy bottle, but throw it at a police officer. It is never okay for you to throw anything at a police officer, no matter what. No matter how upset you are, no matter how upset somebody else is that you are hanging around, it is never, never, never okay for you to do that. It's never okay for you to climb up on top of a police car, a law enforcement car, and jump up and down on it and stomp on the car, or kick it in the side of the door, or hit the glass. It is never okay. It is never okay for you to have part in burning a car, or burning wood or things that are flammable in the middle of a street to get attention for everybody to look at you and what you're doing. It is never okay to do that. Never okay to throw bricks at any law enforcement officer. It's never okay. Never okay. Now, it is never okay for you to spit at an officer. You say, well, I didn't hit them. It doesn't matter. You should never spit at your parents, and you should never spit at a police officer. Ever, ever, don't ever let it happen. Nor should you ever cuss at a police officer. Never. Nor should you ever get in a police enforcement officer's face and scream at them. You can speak to police officers all that you want, but you don't need to scream at them, and especially don't need to scream at them in their face. That is wrong. You hear me? That is wrong, and that will get you into a lot of trouble. Now, you are not at a peaceful protest. People say, well, I wouldn't do it, but I was at a peaceful protest. Well, you're not at a peaceful protest if anybody in your group is in the face of a police officer and it's screaming at them. That is not a peaceful protest. You don't peacefully protest by screaming in the face of anybody. That's not peaceful. If you screamed at me the way some of these people are screaming at those officers, I might knock your teeth out. All right? You have no right to scream at anyone in authority ever. Ever. You should never scream at your parents. You should never scream at your preacher. And you should never scream at law enforcement officers. Now, if you need their attention and you're yelling out for help, that's one thing. I'm talking about you see people in the news, they're getting right in the face of police officers and just screaming right in their face, trying to get them to do something that they can record and get the police officers in trouble. I want you to know, that's sin and it's wrong. And you should never, ever, ever do that. Just the opposite. You should speak to them with respect. You hear that? You speak to them with respect. Now, it doesn't hurt when you speak to them to say, yes, sir, and no, sir. Or if it's a female officer, you would say, yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. And sometimes because of the uniform and the way some of the ladies wear their hair, you may not even know if it's a man or a woman, right? So you could always say, yes, officer, and no, officer. You understand that? Put your hand down. It's not question time. Okay? Sorry. Oh, he's in hiding his face now with a book. All right. But never do that. All right. Now, if you ever find yourself in a group of people and then one of those, even just one of those individuals in your group starts doing one of these bad practices towards law enforcement officers, screaming at them, or throwing a rock, or throwing a bottle, or just acting like they're throwing something, you leave and you go home. You leave and you go home. Don't have anything to do with any group that has even one person acting that way. Leave that group immediately and you go home. All right? You understand that? You go home. Now, for instance, every year, our church and your pastor, I go out and we go out and we protest against abortion. All right? Abortion is sin and it's wrong. And we go out and we protest against abortion every year in our city, but we do so peacefully. Peacefully. Which is our right as Americans and it's our responsibility as Christians. And we protest that. Now, we don't throw anything at anyone. We don't throw wad up gospel tracts and throw them at people's car and they don't know maybe there's a rock in that wad of paper. They don't know there's not a rock in there. So we don't throw anything at anyone. We do not scream at anyone. We do not get out in the street and stop traffic. We do not get out in the street and keep somebody from going on down the road as they need to go to their job or go to church or go to the grocery store or a number of different things like that. We don't set anything on fire and throw it out in the street or burn it even on the side of the road. We don't do that either. We do not keep people from doing what they need to do as we are doing what we feel like we need to do. And that's peacefully protest. Now, law enforcement officers may drive by, and if they saw and we were out there protesting and then we wanted to stop traffic, well, then we would be wrong. And they have to do their job to allow traffic to go on down the road, see? So they'd get on to us. And what should be our response? Stop doing what we shouldn't be doing and respect the law. So they still have to do their jobs no matter what. Those police officers, may even agree with the position of the protesters, but they cannot stop there and agree with them. They still have to do their job and enforce the law. You understand? They still have to do their job, and their job is to enforce the law. Now take your Bibles and go to Romans chapter 13. I cannot imagine this worm girl from Switzerland, Wormwood, what is her name? Thermwood. I cannot imagine having my daughter act like that girl. I'm talking about the little protester running around thinking ever the whole world's burning up and that she's going to go on a flotilla over towards Israel. I wish one of those grown men would have turned her over their knee and spanked her bottom and sent her right back out on the same boat she came on. I can't imagine the parents who see their children on television protesting against law enforcement. Can you imagine, can you just imagine, and all you parents, all you grandparents, can you imagine seeing your own blood, your own children, on the streets, jumping up and down on police cars, spitting at police officers, throwing bricks at police officers? I'd be so humiliated. I'd be so ashamed of my children, and then I'd be ashamed of myself because I didn't teach them better. And so, I want you to know what's better. What's better? To never have a part of anything like that. Now, in the Bible, in Romans chapter 13, let me share with you a few things. Number one, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. That means simply trouble, trouble. For rulers are not a terror for good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he, now he's talking about law enforcement officers here, he is a minister of God to thee for you for good. But if thou do that which is evil, then you ought to be afraid. Be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. Now, our police officers don't carry a sword, but they may carry something else to help them enforce the law. All right? So be afraid of them. For he is a minister of God. He is a servant of God. So you see that uniform and you see that badge, you know they're just not somebody out there wearing a uniform. They are a servant of God. Say that. They are a servant of God. Police officers are servants of God. Say it. Police officers are servants of God. Don't ever forget it. All right, let's continue on. A revenger, the end of verse 4, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So when it comes to authority, let me start with the most important fact of any point of authority. All right, that's number one. Ultimate authority comes from God. God's one that gave us the Bible. And when God tells us that police officers are His special servants, then it's the authority of God that's backing that up. It's God Himself that's telling us they are His special servants. And so anything of authority has to start with the ultimate authority, and the ultimate authority of all the earth is who? It's God. God is the ultimate authority. In Acts 5:29, Peter and the other apostles answered, we ought to obey God rather than men. So all governments, individuals, dads and moms, all others of authority get their authority to do what they do according to God's word. They get that authority from God. They get that authority from God. It's important that you understand that. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So where do parents get their authority to tell you what to do or what not to do? Where do they get that authority? Well, where does ultimate authority come from? It comes from God. So God gives your mother and father the authority to correct you and to tell you what you can do and to also tell you what you can't do, right? God gives them that authority. So the Bible says in Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. God gave mom and dad that authority to boss you around. They're the boss. You're not the boss. Right? All right, so you can't say, mom and daddy are the boss. I'm not the boss. Mom and daddy are the boss. I'm not the boss. Come on, all of you. Mom and daddy are the boss. I'm not the boss. That's right. I'm not the boss. Mom and daddy are the boss. Now, husbands, where do husbands get their authority over the wife? Same place. God gives husbands authorities over their wives. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. So, daddy is the boss of the house. All right, you get that? Daddy is the boss of the house. Daddy is the head of his wife. Where do pastors get their authority? I'm talking to you in an authoritative fashion tonight. I'm telling you what you can and what you should not do. That's authority. Where do I get such authority to say something like that to you? Absolutely. God gives me that authority to do that. Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. That's Hebrews 13:7. And then 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now, not too long ago, I had to say, thou shalt not, what? In the church. Thou shalt not run in the church. Because some of our ladies were getting real nervous about you little guys running around in the church, and they're afraid they're going to fall over and break their hip and never be able to walk again. And you don't want to do that. So they come to the preacher who's been given authority by God. And the preacher has to say, no more running in the church. Right? No more running in the church. Well, where did he get that authority to say something like that? God gives that authority to say something like that. Why? Because he is an enforcement officer, right? He's an enforcement officer of God to care for the house of God, to make sure that y'all have fun, but they don't become cripples. Okay? Now, that's important that you get that, and I'm glad that y'all remember that. And, you know, I had to remind Clayton a couple of times, and Gatlin, I had to get on him a couple of times. No running in church, no running in church. And so every once in a while, I'll see one of you, you just stop and just kind of walk a little bit faster instead of run. But no running in church, right? But where does the preacher get his authority? He gets it from God. Now, number two, God's word teaches us to obey the laws of the land. That's right. God's word teaches us to obey the laws of the land. In verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. The powers who wrote the speed limit, they are also powers. They are authorities, all right? And there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Therefore, render them their due. So, obey the laws of the land. So, you say, well, speed limit out in East Texas is 75 miles an hour. 75 miles an hour is the speed limit. So if you go down the road 90 miles an hour simply because you want to go fast, there's a pretty good chance that one of God's special servants are going to pull you over, and they might have to even put those little shiny bracelets on your arms behind your back. You don't want that, do you? No, you don't want to do that. And you don't want a big fat ticket that you're going to have to spend all of your money and never go to Six Flags again, because they're going to write you a big ticket and you're going to have to pay the man. All right? If you don't, they're going to cut out all of your allowance for a long time. All right? So you don't want to do that. You need to understand God wants you to obey the laws of the land. All of them. All right, so that means no jumping on police cars, no screaming at police officers, all of them. You need to obey all of the laws of the land. Number three, God's word teaches you to obey all the law officers of the land, be they state, city, county, we're in Collin County, or they are federal officers. If the FBI shows up here tonight at our church and they say, "Preacher, we need you to move everybody outside of the building and off here behind this residence off to this side over here behind Miss Evelyn's house," what should we do? Do it. Immediately. Not, "Well, what's going on?" No, that's not our role. Our role, even my role, is to see all of us get out of here safely and get over there behind that house. Right? Because that's God's special officer trying to protect us. And he doesn't have time to explain why all the time. He just needs us to respond. And he needs people like me to also respond to help him. You got that? All right, so God's word teaches us to obey the law officers of the land. Be subject unto the higher powers. And then verse 3 and 4, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same, for he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, but for he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." Now, we talk about he's an enforcer, but what is he an enforcer of? He's a law enforcement officer, right? He enforces what? His opinion? Her opinion? Or enforces the law? What does he enforce? He enforces the law, that's right. So laws are the things which bring order to society. Laws are the things that bring order to our lives. God has many laws, and God has executed for people to have laws. And those laws are established for our good, and they bring order to society. Now, without law, people would be doing anything they wanted to do to anyone they wanted to do it. Now, you say, "Man, that would be great if I could do anything I wanted to do anytime I wanted to do it." You mean even hurt somebody else? Well, then what stops you from hurting someone else because you're still doing whatever you want to do? What stops that? Law. Law stops that. There's a law against you hurting someone else, deliberately going out and just hurting somebody else when they're perfectly innocent. There's laws against that. Now, what about stealing from somebody else? Let's say that you'd like to have a new bicycle and mom and daddy hadn't got you a new bicycle for at least 3 years, and so your neighbor's parents, they bought your neighbor a new bicycle and you like that bicycle. Is it okay for you to go out and steal that bicycle? No. Why? Who says? The law says you cannot steal somebody else's property. All right? So stealing somebody else's property violates the law. It breaks the law. It breaks the law. Well, what about this? What about hitting somebody else? Let's say somebody said something ugly to you at the park, and you just walked up to them and you just hit them real good, you know? Who says that's wrong? The law says that's wrong. So law is given by God to help us know right and wrong and what is allowed and what is not allowed. All right, and they're called law enforcement officers, and law brings order. In the time of Judges, this is what happened in Judges 17:6. "In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Well, because this person thinks it's right, but it violates this other person, that makes it wrong. So God's given us laws, and nations have given us laws, and cities have given us laws to help us get along with one another and live peaceably with one another. And those laws are to be obeyed. Now, Number five, officers are called just that, law enforcement officers. The rule of law is good for everybody. The rule of law is good for everyone. And it's the best deal you can have as an individual, is the rule of law. You hear a lot of people talking on television, on newscasts and things like that. If your mom and daddy happen to be listening, they talk about our democracy. We rule by a democracy. We are not ruled by a democracy. That's just like saying that we're ruled by the mob. We're not ruled by the mob. We're ruled by law. Whatever the law says, that's what we're ruled by. All right? Not if just because 100 people show up, all of a sudden they get to determine what's right or wrong. No. The law determines what's right and wrong. So they don't get to make up the law. They enforce the law, and they enforce the law equally. Equally. So somebody who's rich, the law has to be applied to them equally. Somebody who's poor, the law has to be applied to them equally. And that's the only way that the rule of law can be fair. And everybody is subject to the same laws. It doesn't matter if you're a politician and you wrote the law. You're still subject to that same law. And that law is fair and right for everyone. Now, let me tell you, you adults, something I read the other day. At the most fundamental level, the rule of law means law governs everyone equally. Now, we know that it should. It's not always, but it should. But if you want anarchy, just choose something different. Just choose something different. It's the best thing we've got. All right, the rule of law. Neither government officials nor common citizens are allowed to break the law. Everyone is treated equally before the law and afforded due process and fairness under the law. And so this is the best thing that each of us as citizens can have and embrace. So let me give what I read, seven general principles of law and application of the law. Number one. First, it is only the law that governs within a just and free society as opposed to individuals or groups. An individual can't say, okay, this is the law across the land. No, you don't get to do that. You don't get to do that. You don't get to make up the law as you go, and neither do they. So it makes each citizen equal to any other under the law and leads every citizen, regardless of position or stature, within a society being treated equally before the law. So it doesn't matter who you are, if you violated the law, you've got to give an account to the law. All right, that's number one. Number two. Law that is vague, incoherent, and arbitrary, or unwritten is no law at all. No law at all. That's, in other words, if the law is not clear, if it's muddy like muddy water, it's useless. Laws need to be clear as possible. All right, that's number two. Number three, laws alone do not establish justice, but a proper application of just laws brings about justice. So somebody has to be out there, and let's say you're speeding and going down the road, but it's an emergency and you've got to get somebody to the hospital, and they are very near dying if you don't get them to the hospital just as fast as you possibly can. And let's say a police officer, a law enforcement officer pulled you over and you told him quickly, I have a lady, I have a man right here, I have a boy, and he's dying, he's bleeding. I have to get him to the hospital. They will help you get him to the hospital. All right? But that's their discretion to allow for that, the enforcement of that law. And they have, in other words, law enforcement officers have to be afforded, have to be given some wiggle room. Okay? Just like mom and daddy, sometimes they have a little wiggle room when they're making up their laws and what to do and what not to do in the house, what is allowed and what's not allowed. They have a little wiggle room, and we call that discretion. All right? So number four, those entrusted to enforce laws within a society must defend arduously the people's liberty and equal application of the people's law. In other words, they have to enforce it equally, not being favor towards this and opposing this group or that individual, or just because somebody has this color skin or that color skin. None of that. None of that's allowed with the rule of law. None of that's allowed. Number five, allowing just laws of society to not be observed is worse than not having no law at all. Let me give you that one again, you adults. Allowing just laws of a society to not be observed is worse than having no law at all. All right, so let's say some people are out there and they're defacing public property. They're damaging police property, right? They're burning people's stores down. And it's against the law to do all of that. It's against the law to do all of that. But it would be wrong for us sitting back over here in Texas watching this on the news to say, well, those police officers, they should just do nothing. Just stay out of it. Stay out of it. No. That's just as wrong, if not worse, because it tells everybody over there, you can break the law and there's no consequence for breaking the law. So a lot of these people are saying, even politicians are telling us, well, they're just upset. Well, you can get upset all you want, but you don't have a right to destroy property. And when you go out and you destroy property, then everybody, including us here in North Texas, have to say, that's wrong. Y'all need to stop doing that. And law enforcement, they need to get engaged and stop it. They have to stop it. And they can't just kind of walk out there and say, now, y'all don't throw rocks at the police officers. It's not nice. Didn't your mom and daddy teach you not to do that? No, they're going to come out there and then they're going to grab you by the neck and throw you down on the ground, put handcuffs on you. And they're going to take you and throw you in a car, a truck. They're going to take you to jail. And that's where you belong, if that's what you do. But you have to support these men and these women to do that. Tough job, because if they don't do that, then everybody out there thinks it's okay to just do it because there's no consequence. I don't get spanked for doing bad. If you do that bad, you deserve to be spanked. And they deserve to do the spanking. All right? They need to do the spanking. So allowing just laws of society to not be observed is worse than having no law at all. And that's what some of our politicians are advocating. That's what they're saying. Don't enforce the law. No, they need to enforce the law. All right, so let me tell you something. Years ago, I was speeding. I was going down 78, and I was going under the railroad trestle just before you get into Garland, and it goes down here like that, and then back up the hill. And when you go downhill, you have a tendency to go a little bit fast, and I was going a little bit fast going down that hill. And when I got through the bottom of the hill, I come back up, and there's a police officer sitting right over there. And he had his little special camera aiming it at me, and it told him that I was speeding. So he pulls out behind the preacher, and then I see that light, that special light behind me. And I wonder, is he looking at me? And he's looking right at me. And so I pull over into a parking lot, and he pulls over right behind me. And I stop, turn the truck off, put my hands on the steering wheel, roll down my window, put my hands on the steering wheel, and I wait for him to walk up right here. And he walks up right here. And he said, didn't you see me behind you sooner? I said, no, sir. When I saw you, I pulled over as soon as I could pull over in the parking lot. See? No, sir, I didn't see you. I saw you. When I saw you, I pulled over. Right? All right. So I told him, I said, well, I've got something to preach about tonight. That was on a Wednesday afternoon, and I was going to be preaching down in Garland that night. And he said, so, oh, you're a preacher. And I said, well, yeah, a preacher who was speeding. And he says, well, and I said, no, you do your job and I'll do mine. And he did. He wrote me a ticket. He wrote me a ticket. And you know what? I deserve that ticket. Now, him writing me that ticket reminds me, slow down. Pay attention to the speed limit, right? And you know that ticket cost me over $250. Whack, 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 whack. I got spanked. But he was thinking about, just for a second or two, because I was a preacher, he was thinking about not writing me a ticket until I told him, I'll do my job. Preacher, you do your job. And he wrote me a ticket. He didn't do anything wrong. He did the right thing and he wrote me a ticket. So if you speed any time in your life, in your future, when you're driving, you know, when you're 45 or so, when you're driving finally, and you speed, and a police officer, enforcement officer pulls you over, and they write you a ticket, you deserve that ticket. You shouldn't get mad, even if then it cost you $500. Don't get mad at them. They're simply doing their job. Amen? They're simply doing their job. And they are empowered to do their job by God. So you want them to do their job. It's good for everyone for them to do their job, right? You still with me? You're not asleep? It's good for them to do their job, for everybody, for you. Because let's say that I didn't pay attention and I just kept on speeding, and now next time I was going 30 miles an hour over the speed limit. Now, man, that's really, really dangerous. I could run over a child that's crossing the street with their mother, and I would hate to do something like that. So it's a reminder to me, be careful and back off. Come within the speed limit and obey the laws, right? And that's all for good. Now, I think I had, there was one more, six, there's seven actually. Number six, law should therefore only be pronounced on essential things. So there should be no laws against driving gray cars. Or brother Gabe got a new truck because he drove my truck and then he wanted a truck. All right? So he bought him a new truck. Used truck, but a new truck. And it looks real pretty. It's red. But you know what color the paint is? No, it's not bright red. You know the official name of brother Gabe's truck, the paint on his truck. Lucky Red? No. What is it, Brother Gabe?
Pull me over red.
Pull me over red. In other words, when the police officer see that red truck, they're going to pull him over. You must be breaking some law. Now, that's not what makes somebody break the law, right? But red is easy to see. It's easy to see. But they're not going to pull you over unless you're speeding, even driving a red truck. Or a sports car, all right? But if you're carrying a tractor implement on top of it, they probably will pull you over, all right? So they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that. Law should be only of essential things because we all like our liberty. I like being able to drive a truck instead of a car, and I wouldn't like it if there was a law that says I've got to drive a car. I don't like that at all. I've driven cars. I'd much rather prefer to drive a truck. So I don't want our country or our community or our state or our county to say, thou shalt not drive a pickup truck. I wouldn't like that at all. And I would protest against that law. All right? Now, I wouldn't throw anything at police officers, but I'd protest against that law for sure. And number seven, there are various sorts of law and thus different orders to law. So the binding force of an inferior law always flows from that of a superior one. In other words, there are things that are more important than other things. And the most important things always get first place. All right, there's an order to law. And there's laws that are really, really, really important. And then there are laws that are somewhat important. And the somewhat laws always have to serve the more important laws, all right, the rule of law. Of course, that brings us all the way back around to the first point. Where does law and order come from? Who sets up law and order? God does. God does. If you're going to be a Christian, you cannot ignore the authority of God. And if you're going to be a Christian, you cannot ignore the authority that God has set up in our land. That means how we behave and how our groups behave, or how any group that we participate with, how they behave. Because we need to understand, those officers, they're enforcing the law and they're doing it as special servants of God. So respect them, help them, don't talk ugly about them, don't call them names Years ago when I was a boy, we had a bunch of people that used to think it was kind of cool to call a police officer dirty names, nasty names. Just names, just derogatory names, things that were not respectful at all. And we need to be taught better. So I want you to know better, and I don't ever want to see you ever. I don't care if you're 30 years old and I'm walking around on a cane at a nursing home and I look up on the television set and I don't know what it'll look like then. And I see, there's Sophie jumping on the top of a police car. And if I see that, I'm going to throw that cane through the television set and I'm going to say, Miss Kaselin, can you come get me in your gold Honda and take me to California because I need to go get Sophie off the top of that police car because I'm going to try to do something about that. All right? So I don't ever want to see any of you or any of you participate in any type of foolishness like that. And God help us if we ever saw our own to do something so embarrassing, so unbecoming. A Christian. Listen, some of those people claim to be Christian doing these kinds of things. That is so wrong-headed, you know, it's unreal. It's unreal. Law enforcement don't make the laws. They're there to enforce the laws, and that's for all of our benefit, including their own and their own families, by the way. And whether or not they have on a uniform, they're still law enforcement officers. And they have sworn to uphold that law. They've sworn. And they intend to uphold that law. In other words, they want to do their job before God. Wouldn't you want your mom and daddy to do their job before God? Do you want your preacher to do his job before God? Then you want all law enforcement officers to do their job before God. So when they drive by, you know, if you're little ones, you might give them a salute or wave at them. You know, hi, hi. Don't talk ugly about them. Don't let anybody else talk ugly about them. All right? Let's stand for prayer.